Thank you. Today, I'm going to continue to talk about the importance of unity and fellowship, part two. Every year here at Great Falls Church, we have a special cultural day and service. This year, it will be our fourth year, cultural day. I thank our Lord and our church members for what has been achieved in our church. Our church is multicultural, and one of our church visions is to grow as a multicultural Christian church. There are about 20 different cultures in our church. We are continuing to help our church members to understand other cultures and to become a united church of different ethnic groups. We are doing this through our services, growth groups, various meetings, and our children and young people's groups, as well as this. Sunday Fun Day and Cultural Day are two of the big events for our church members to get to know each other better. In the past, at the Cultural Day and service, we have had a seminar and cultural performances with songs, dancing, and poems. If you want to join us and have good ideas, please let us know so that we can continue to make these events better. Last month, we held the Sunday Fun Day, and I spoke of the same topic of the importance of unity and fellowship, part one. During the sermon, we read the book of Acts, chapter 2, and learned from the early believers how they united with each other in Christ. They used to spend much time on teaching the word of God and doing fellowship with Bible studies, prayers, and meals. God blessed the early believers and multiplied the church. Today, the second sermon of the importance of unity and fellowship, we will focus on the early believers of the Corinthian church. The church was proud of its diversity. Many of its members were from different cultures, religions, and social positions. Between these groups, there had often been major conflicts. In the book of Corinthians, we are able to learn from how Apostle Paul spent much time on uniting the mixed congregations of early believers in Christ. Our church, Great Friars, is also a mixed congregation because many of our church members are from different backgrounds, social positions, and cultures. From now on, I will talk to you how we are able to learn from the Apostle Paul and use these lessons to build our own united church. First, Paul used his spiritual gifts when working for his church. And God has given each one of us our own spiritual gifts for us to use. What does spiritual gift mean? It comes from the Greek word charisma. Charisma simply means divinely or godly empowers a believer to share God's work with others. God gives his spiritual gifts to his people. God's purpose is that they are to be used for other people to glorify God. Spiritual gifts are to be used for other people to glorify God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 11, we are told of some of these spiritual gifts. There are different kinds of gifts. There's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, the message of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one, just as He determines. Apostle Paul encouraged the believers of Christ to use their gifts for others, knowing that each person had different kinds of gifts. When the believers used their gifts for others, both believers and non-believers succeeded. But when people neglected their gifts and did not use them, then the church did not thrive. Paul's example of using his own God-given gifts helped the Corinthian Christians from different cultures, religions, and social groups to unite through using their own gifts. We need to discover our own spiritual gifts. We need to encourage our church members to use their gifts for others through our services and ministries. Some people might say, I have no spiritual gift because I'm not good at teaching or healing people. However, we also see that there are other kinds of spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28 says, in the church, God has appointed apostles, prophets, teachers, workers of miracles, gifts of healing, help others, gifts of administration. Perhaps each one of us could apply our own gifts to our work in our church. Among those, helping other people is known as one of the great spiritual gifts. We are able to help others in many different kinds of ways, such as serving, teaching, leading, singing, and helping in many ways in Christ. I have a friend of mine who is of the same age. Unfortunately, he was disabled after he had a car accident, which affected his brain. He had suffered from his mental illness for a long time, but faithfully attended services and meetings at my home church in South Korea. He chose to help many church members to come to church services and meetings. The story helps us to understand that there are many ways to use the gift of helping. Also, God appointed many of His early believers as apostles. To become an apostle is a gift. The word comes from the Greek word apostolos, which means to be sent, be commissioned, or sent forth. The word apostle has the same meaning as missionary, which originally comes from the Latin word mito, to be sent. All believers of Christ become apostles and missionaries because they are sent to do the work of God. Based on these understandings, all believers of Christ has already the gift of helping and are appointed to be apostles. The other gifts told us in the reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 are also given to the believers of God. Some of you might have seen or heard about this man named Nicholas James Vujicic. We'll watch a short video. Okay, this man named Nick James Vujicic, and this is the family of for him. Nick was born in Australia with no arms and with no legs. However, he has overcome these life challenges by finding strength and hope found in Jesus Christ. He recalls that as a child, he struggled mentally, emotionally, and physically, but eventually came to realize that he had this ability, and this helped him to come to terms with his life. At the age of 17, he started his own non-profit organization called Life Without Limbs, which is an international non-profit organization and ministry. Even though he is a motivational speaker, even without arms and legs, he has worked toward helping many people to find hope and the meaning of life in Christ. He is a man who has used his spiritual gifts well. He was helping for others and encouraged many people to come to know Christ in their lives. This story reminds us that we also have spiritual gifts, and we can use them to help ourselves and others to know more about God and unite together in Christ. Second, Paul told us that we are to unite together in Christ by helping each other. Paul made the efforts to unite believers in the Corinthian church. He used the story of the human body to show the believers of Christ how they were to unite together. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, "The body is a unit, though it is made of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ." Paul illustrates that if we work together as one body in Christ, we could have a powerful working unit in our church. To be powerful, we need to utilize the three elements of unity, harmony, and cooperation. Apparently, to make a car, we need 20,000 parts. Each part has its own function. To move the car, each part needs to unite and work together in cooperation and harmony. Otherwise, the car will not work. The same three principles apply to our working body. Each body part, such as heart, skin, and eyes, has its own function. For the body to live and survive, each part needs to unite and cooperate together in harmony. Otherwise, our body will not work. Again, the same principles also apply to our church. Each person has his or her own function in the church. Each position, including those serving, helping others, ministers, elders, and church leaders, is very important. Each one of us needs to work with and cooperate in harmony here in our church, so that we are able to continue to serve God and His people. Let us read together 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18 to 21. God has arranged the parts to the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Once upon a time, there was a king in a palace. To look after his garden, the king hired two men. One man was too short, and another man was blind. In the palace garden, there was a tree which had very delicious fruit. The two hired men worked very hard and desired some fruit, but they couldn't eat the fruit because the tree was too high for the short man to reach, and the blind man was not able to see the fruit. One day, they had this great idea. They walked together. The short man sat on the blind man's shoulder and picked the fruit. They ate together in unity and harmony. This story illustrates again that a person cannot succeed on his own. But if working together with others, they can succeed and eat the fruit of their efforts. Third, Paul tells us we are to unite together with many cultures. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13 says, we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. In the Corinthian church, there were many diverse church members with different cultures, religions, and social positions. There had often been conflicts among them because they were so different. Paul taught that believers of Christ became one in Christ. He says in Galatians 3, verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Believers of Christ become one in Christ Jesus. We are all one in Christ Jesus. This means that each is a part of God's family, the Christian church, called brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul also says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 20, there are many parts, but one body. Many parts, but one body. Each one of us has our own family, which is our physical family, and we worked together to help each other. We also have our spiritual family here in our church. For this to succeed, we need to unite and cooperate in harmony. A long time ago, I read this story from a book. At a field, there were three kinds of cows: black, brown, and spotted. They lived peacefully together. However, there was a lion who tried to eat one of them, but he couldn't, because the three cows walked together as a group. In order to succeed and kill the cows, the lion separated them by lying to each one. So they were no longer united in purpose. Sadly, the cows started fighting each other and were each separately killed by the lion. The lion can be likened to Satan. Satan is still attacking and deceiving believers of Christ, trying to stop them from uniting together with other believers and being strong. We know that the early believers of Christ united and worked together in spite of severe hardships and persecutions, but they continued to gather together through services, Bible studies, prayers, and meals. God had blessed the churches and helped believers to succeed in this world. And many people have united and come to God. To conclude, it is important that we do our best to unite together in Christ, that we use our spiritual gifts for others, and that we help each other to serve God and His people through our church, Great Friars. May God bless you and your family members. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for having us here today. Thank you for great power through your church. Please continue to help us to unite and cooperate together in harmony. Bless all of those who are in this church. After the service, we will enjoy our cultural day with many wonderful ethnic groups. Help us continue to share God's love and grace with our church members and others. Thank you, Lord. I pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.